Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
To get into the show, I just wanted to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. They are, of course, the sponsor of the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. You can deposit using the promo code GRID. There is a link to Underdog Fantasy for you to sign up in the show notes for this podcast. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on the desktop. When you sign up with the promo code GRID, G-R-I-D, you are going to get 1 free wager inside of their pick'em game. And then when you win that, because we know that you will, you'll be able to enter into all the NFL contests that they're doing. They have the Battle Royale. They have, of course, the pick'em game, the rival game, lots of very cool stuff happening. They also have a best ball basketball tournament and a best ball hockey tournament for you guys to get in there. And now let's go ahead and get into the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Nate Noling and Sammy Reed. You are also could be listening to this on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. This is, of course, the Gilcast for week 4. Bad news for everyone. Not a lot of sadness to deliver this week. I was just telling Sammy before we started recording, just a very boring week. It became evident very early on that it was definitely a what does Levitan call it? The show me you can.
The prove it week.
The prove it week. It was definitely a prove it week. I think there were 2 roster constructions that were viable. And if you did not play those, I think that you played bad. And, we all scored within, 8 points of each other. So pretty good indicator that, that was true, though. It's not going to be a show that was without emotion, because of course Nate found a way to play Mike Davis, and Nate won the 3-man with Mike Davis.
I'm so sick of this shit, man. Like, I am tired of Nate putting out bullshit ass lineups and scoring more points. Like,
you guys just gotta play better. It's week 4. I've won 3 in a row, or 3 of the 4.
I actually
the show is not as fun without like actual competition.
We're giving you
the fish of the day award despite you scoring more points. I mean, it's just what you did today was just so bad.
Yeah, there were 2 things you did that I think are really bad, but we'll get. And I think there's 1 thing I did that was really bad, and we will get into that here in a second. So Nate scored 144.62. You can send Nate a game at Nate N on DraftKings. I scored 139.42. Sammy scored 139.22. Sammy and I just had a 1v1. But Nate, how bad was Sammy's team that he sent us on Saturday? I mean,
dude, you guys have never seen an abomination this bad. It was literally like, Sammy, I don't know what you were doing.
What are you talking about, man?
The team you sent on Saturday was unbelievable.
Well, that's because it was like Friday, and I'm like, this is my first run at cash. I didn't even like look at it projections. What was the team? I'm gonna look it up. It wasn't that bad.
No, it was. We do need to go back and look at it. Really, I'm going back and looking through our chat today. It was not even popping because we literally had no sweat. So your team was Matt Ryan, Derrick Henry, Antonio Gibson, Debo, who broke the slate, DJ Moore, Robert Woods, Will Disley, Swift, and the Lions. It was just the Matt Ryan and Gibson plays that were just completely out of nowhere. But that would have been a terrible team to play.
What do you mean, Matt?
That team would have smashed us because of Debo.
That's right. It was Matt Ryan, Henry, and Gibson, and DeAndre Swift, Debo Samuel, DJ Moore, Bobby Trees, Disley.
You should have stuck to your guns, Sammy.
I should have just played Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, Debo, seriously. Debo was like a little chalky in this slate, wasn't he?
Debo was, I mean, not in tournament. In tournaments, he was only like 8% owned. He came through really well at the end. If you had him, I mean, he was the difference maker in that late game.
Yeah, he luck-boxed a touchdown right at the end. Like,
oh, dude, I needed that because of that freaking what was ever happening? It was Woods. The Woods TD. Well, I needed that.
Woods and Najee both scored touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And in a couple of double ups, I like fell out. And then Devontae Adams caught a 15-yard pass for no reason.
For no reason,
and it got me back up. So
it was the Najee thing that made me lose. Like, I bubbled all my GPPs, and then all of a sudden Debo got the TD, and I was live again for some min caches because I had way too much Odell. But
all right, so Sammy, you and I basically played the same team. We had a 1v1. We both played Dak at quarterback. We both played Derrick Henry. You played DeAndre Swift. I played Chuba Hubbard. We both played DJ Moore. We both played Amari Cooper. You played Curtis. Actually, we had a 2v2. You played Curtis Samuel. I played Nick Westbrook-Ikeen. They both got exactly 5.9 DraftKings points. All three of us played Disley. All three of us played Devontae Adams. And all three of us played the Lions defense. Nate, we really got to start here. What the fuck are you doing with Josh Allen? Like, what? How? Where was this coming from? Why would you not just take the layup points from Dak?
Jesus, you just got to pay $8K for a quarterback on this slate.
I don't think Josh Allen was a bad play, but clearly, if I'm spending up on a quarterback, I'm spending on Mahomes.
No. I mean, for me, it was Allen who had the ceiling. I mean, Allen just is so much a part of every part of his team's touchdowns that, like, in this game, I wanted either Allen or Dak. Those are my two kind of cash game quarterbacks. I was able to get to Allen because of, like, just the running back mess that we had. I could not figure out what to do at running back all week other than Davis. Yeah,
he played Mike Davis. And so that's how he was able to get to Josh Allen.
Yeah. Josh Allen has the highest ceiling on the slate. I mean, he clearly does.
Know that's not true. You know Mahomes always has the highest ceiling.
I think Allen probably does because Allen has more rushing touchdown equity.
Not only that, his team had the highest team total on the slate, and every game he goes out, he is going to be part of, like, what, 75% of his team's touchdowns, where Mahomes maybe makes up 50%. Like, there's so many other ways that the Chiefs score Allen is just – he is the Bills offense, and they had a 30.5 team total. Like, he had the highest ceiling of any quarterback on the slate. If you had the dollars to get to him, it wasn't a bad play. It's just they were super inefficient in the red zone, which nobody expected.
You didn't have the dollars to get to him, Nate. You didn't have the dollars. You made them by playing Mike Davis. Like, what was Mike Davis?
I was playing Mike Davis all week. I told you guys that. He's 5.1.
I thought you were joking.
And we told you it was terrible.
I thought you were kidding.
Dude, you guys don't I can't tell if this is like a bit from you
guys.
Did you
adjust your projections when Wayne Gallman was active?
Yeah, I did get I had a couple of people reach out like right as the inactives came out was like, hey, did Wayne Gallman get you off?
Was it like an intervention? You had a bunch of people reach out and try to sit you down.
No, because Cardi, I know that Cardi was on him too. But I mean, Mike
Cardi Davis legit. Cardi legit reached out like 20 minutes or like an hour before lock. It was like, does Gallman get you off of Davis at all? I'm like, no, like he didn't. Here's the thing about Mike Davis. Mike Davis has put up value at his salary with zero efficiency, and this was the first time that Atlanta actually looked to be in a spot where they were gonna have some efficiency on offense. And the thesis of the Mike Davis play is like, if he gets a touchdown, he gets his 11 points, his 12 points or whatever, plus some.
Well, close.
I mean, this game was okay.
Nate, how hard were you tilting when the Falcons RB1 caught three touchdowns?
Dude, don't even get me started on the CPAT tilt. But honestly, Mike Davis, I'm fine if that's like my brand is playing a great value running back at 5K.
1.1 yards per carry, 13 carries, 14 yards, two targets for 12 yards.
Are you still building DFS lineups off of yards per carry as an efficiency metric? Like, that's how you decide.
I gotta hand it to
cash game value of a running back.
The touchdown he scored was pretty impressive, but it was not as impressive as any of the three that Cordarrelle Patterson scored. I gotta say, all three of Patterson's were more impressive.
Yeah, he had like a 50% rush share and a like 5% target share or something like this. It's just
it was even less because the team had 28 rushing attempts and he got 13 of them.
Yeah, it's just so bad, Nate. Like you have to look. I know your model's spitting out, you know, oh, it gets this rush share and this start, but it's more of
the model.
Art.
The model is not going to do. The model is not going to spit out Mike Davis next week after adding the Gallman stuff in.
Well, I mean, Gallman
really didn't get much work. I mean, Mike Davis still ran 31 routes and had 13 rush and had 50% of his team's rushing attempts. They are not. Cordarrelle Patterson is not ever going to be an 80% rush share guy. He is just not. That has never been in his range of outcomes. He has been in the league how many years? Like, I am.
But
not
we don't even really
about-
want the rushes. We want the high value touches, and Patterson gets all the high value touches.
But he. Mike Davis is out on the field for him too. Like that's not, they're not going to be on the 2 yard line jamming in Cordarrelle Patterson for 17 games in a season where Mike Davis has shown that he can handle that workload. And he is the back that Atlanta's going to use. Like we have seen the ceiling of the Cordarrelle Patterson usage. He is still running like 30% of the team snaps. He's not like a 80% snap share guy.
Mike
Davis legit ran 31 routes and had 13 rushing attempts.
Nate would be the guy in 2011 playing Thomas Jones over Jamal Charles saying like, Thomas Jones is getting all the touches. When they get to the goal line, they're bringing in Thomas Jones. There's no way this efficiency can continue. Like Thomas Jones is just Mike Davis.
Right. Mike Davis won't even be in the league like next season, probably.
It doesn't matter. No, we're playing this season. There was only
it does matter. It does matter because you can tell Atlanta doesn't like him. Like
they let him run 31 routes and had 13 rushing attempts.
And they threw it to
5K.
Him twice. And they gave Patterson 6 rushes and Gallman 6 rushes. Like he had less than 50% rushes.
Okay.
Like it's over, bro. You sucked out. You got so lucky to get this trash touchdown.
You got so lucky to get. I mean, you were looking at 3 points for Mike Davis, dude.
Oh, dude, this show would have been so great if we had 3 points for Mike Davis and three touchdowns
from
Patterson.
He still would not have taken the L. He still would not have taken the L.
Oh my god.
I still would have cashed. I still would have cast. I still probably would have beat you guys.
You would have been right without the Mike Davis touchdown. You would have been right up against it.
Listen, I'm like. It's insane to me that you guys still don't realize that at 5K usage he's available.
I want you to take the L, Nate, because I was going to compliment you on the other play that you made.
Well, I'm not going to take – Mike Davis is a play at this value. Like, he just is. And if you guys don't realize that the running back position, like, you need to find these values.
You just got to play the Atlanta Falcons running back in a three-way timeshare. You just got to
He ran 31 routes and had 13 rushing attempts. You realize no running backs get that usage.
How many routes did Swift run? A lot, I'm sure. I'm sure Swift ran more.
I bet Swift – how many routes do you think Swift ran? I'll look it up right now.
I don't know how many times the Lions passed the ball.
The Lions threw the ball 38 times.
Swift ran 33 routes with 8 rushing attempts. The only running backs who had more than 10 rushing attempts and also more than 25 routes run was Saquon Barkley and Mike Davis. One of them.
No,
was
you
5.
Told
1K.
Me. Hey, you told me last week Barkley's dust, bro. You told me that Barkley.
No,
it
was not an anti-Barkley play. It was a
pro Mike Davis play
for $2,000 cheaper. Dude, you guys are trying to hand out an L where it's not like.
Well, if you were going to graciously take this L, I was going to be more complimentary of the other play you made. But I actually think you made the most mentally strong running back two play. Also, another thing you did that was super egregious was you played 3 running backs instead of 4 wide receivers, which I think in the context of this week was terrible. But
well, can we talk about that? Because I had 4 wide receivers all week. I had Cup, I had Devontae. I did not feel great about playing Cup this week. And it had nothing to do with projections. The projections loved Cup. The usage loved Cup.
I didn't play
everything,
Cup either.
Everything pointed to Cup. But the reason I got off, I just like
are you meaning to say Woods?
No, Cup. I had Cup Devont. My original team was Dak. It was Dak, Dak Henry, Mike Davis, Samuels, DJ Moore, Cup, Devontae, and Lyons and Disley.
Yeah.
But I moved off of Cup because looking at his usage, he's still got crazy usage. But no, at the end of the day, his efficiency was off, was just insane over these last 3 weeks. And I just didn't think that could continue. And I didn't want to be the one who was playing him at elevated price tags, betting on that level of efficiency. But to be honest, this week, his efficiency rebounded to the opposite, but he still had probably the second best usage on the week from expected fantasy points. Like Cup's still a monster, even though it didn't work out.
He got 13 targets. Like he's still, yeah. But you played David Montgomery as your second running back. I played Chuba Hubbard. Sammy played DeAndre Swift. It took me like watching one snap of that Bears game to realize that David Montgomery was clearly the correct play. I don't even believe he was targeted, but it just does not matter. He was the correct running back to play. Chuba, I think that I did not project Rodney Smith to play. Like when I was working through stuff, Rodney Smith and was out there quite a bit, especially on third down. So Chuba Hubbard is not going to be 90% CMC the way that Mike Davis was for like four games last year.
Yeah, but I think that kind of jobbed you because then when they went down, they didn't have Chuba in there.
Yeah, Chuba was in there some, but Smith was in there some and Freeman was in there some. Like it just wasn't like Mike Davis would have gotten 6 for 50 through the air in this,
and this is,
last year.
This is actually why I didn't play Chuba because I thought there was just some
chance
that you know he's a rookie and you know whatever is like, you know, fourth game and you know that they weren't just going to give him all of it, like they were going to do some sort of rotation. And you know that was really I thought he was in a good spot and you know all that stuff, and yeah, 90% CMC, but at the end, like I just didn't trust it fully. And it's kind of like after getting burned by Fields last week, just being like, yo dude, like this guy's in his first game and you don't really know what's going to happen, like there's a level of insecurity there. That's why I opted away from Chuba. I don't think he was a bad play, but like that was the thing that got me off of him.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think he was a bad play, but his usage was appalling.
It was
worse than I ever could have expected without like an injury for him. I mean, he saw literally less than a 50% snap share. He ran 10 routes with 13 rushing attempts. So, I mean, yeah, his snap share was 47%. He only ran a route in 21% of the team's passing.
I mean, obviously
like,
part of it
unplayable.
Was part of it was that the game got away from them, but I still think they probably view him as like an early down back and they view the other guys as the passing down back.
Yeah, like and the other thing with rookies is like the pass protection thing that coaches really like get on. Yep. Like if they don't trust him in pass pro, then he's not going to be on the field for that stuff. And we just didn't have enough data to know what they thought about him in that regard.
Yeah. The Rodney Smith thing was a shocker to me, but Rodney Smith had had more routes than him and then got targets on those routes too. So, it's a bummer.
So that's the thing is you said Hubbard ran 10 routes. He got 2 targets. So like, that's great targets per route run because that's the Carolina offense. They throw to the running backs, but I think
Rodney had 5 targets on 19 routes. So like Rodney was clearly the guy that they wanted to have in there.
Yeah. And if I had any ideation that Rodney Smith was going to be the third down back, like it's so funny. I even spent the morning going through the Athletic stuff from the last week on the Panthers to just be like, what are they expecting? And everything was like, Chuba's going to get the start. Chuba's the guy. Like there was a weird thing that Matt Rhule said about he's been like slipping on the field a lot. So they got him new cleats. And that like gave me a little bit of pause. I'm like, that's a weird thing to bring up talking about your new starting running
back. Is that just like a nice way of saying he's getting blown up in passing pro?
Something. I don't know. But I literally read through everything from Carolina beat writers this week and they did not say anything about Rodney Smith. So but I'm taking the L on that. Like that play could have gone one of two ways, which was he's 90% CMC the way that Mike Davis was, or he's in this gross timeshare with Royce Freeman and Rodney Smith. I learned my lesson. I managed to survive it due to DJ Moore, but I think and Sammy, you played DeAndre Swift, who he or Montgomery, I think, were both better plays than what I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's just more of an art, man. Like, I think the projections liked Hubbard.
No,
just...
our stuff actually had Najee in as the second running back, but I was like, no fucking way, man.
Yeah. Well, what I was looking at had Hubbard really close to, you know, that Swift, and it had Montgomery in that territory too, maybe like a point behind. But at some point, yeah, it's more of an art. Like, you just got to like know that they might not trust a rookie the way they will David Montgomery. And, you know, I was pretty disappointed in DeAndre Swift. I've kind of been a hater all draft season. I don't own many seasonal shares because I don't like investing third round picks and, you know, Lions timeshare running backs. But the reality is he has been getting a lot of high value touches, right?
Especially he's like Mike Davis, but athletic.
Sort of, yeah. So
yeah, at $2,000 more.
Well, not that much, Nate. That's
$1,100 more.
Yeah, that's egregious. Whatever.
The difference between Dak and Josh Allen, basically.
Yeah.
I seriously think if you didn't play Justin Fields or Dak in cash this week, you're straight up like
Justin Fields. No,
Justin, okay, no, Davis. You're not understanding Josh Allen's like ceiling here. I don't understand how you like this setup. There has never been an easier like offensive. He broke every like metric.
I'm not saying, Nate, I don't think that Josh Allen was a bad play, but in the context of finding the best median projected lineups, Josh Allen was not in them. You made huge sacrifices to get Josh Allen in your lineup.
Yeah, you played the Falcons' number two running back so that you could have Josh Allen.
Like, you played Mike Davis over Amari Cooper to get Josh Allen in your lineup, which just like truly that like I had those guys separated by like 9 points.
It's very bad, very bad, Nate.
We just Nemo
Noling stuff right there. It's really
no. I'm telling you, Mike Davis was in some of our optimals. I'm not even going to lie to you and say that Mike Davis wasn't hitting some of our optimals. But Amari Cooper was our most optimal player. Like if you run 150 lineups on Daily Roto with like no settings or whatever, just to get your cash teams, Amari Cooper was in, I think, all of the top 150 lineups.
And you had to get those three Amari Cooper targets, you know, you really missed Buffalo out on
legit,
those.
Buffalo legit had like a 33.5 team total. And I think it was like low, like,
but wasn't Dallas a team total 30?
Okay. But you get that like, and Dallas's was 27.5, I think. And so Dallas was literally like 6 points under on the team total. And Dallas has both Zeke and Pollard who'd take like Zach Moss and Devin Singletary are not going to combine for three touchdowns ever. Like that's just not going to happen. Josh Allen is going to score.
Nate, you are misunderstanding what I'm saying. I am not criticizing the Josh Allen play in a vacuum. Josh Allen is always a very good option for fantasy, especially last week. He was 7,000. Fine time to play him. Playing $8,000 quarterbacks in cash when we don't have the free square running back, it's very rarely is that going to be optimal. I mean, like all of the optimals this week were Justin Fields or Dak Prescott in the top 150.
Well, and honestly, I think if you didn't see Justin Fields last week and learn your lesson, I think that's bad. Like, I learned my lesson.
I'm not criticizing anyone who played Justin Fields because... because, dude, it was so... He was so close to having a good game, clearly.
Was he?
Yeah, it was close. I actually don't hate the Justin Fields play. I think going back there again is okay. I think if there's ever a time, like, they had all week to game plan for him. Nagy came out and it was clear Nagy wasn't going to be the play caller this week. It was clear the whole Andy Dalton
he was efficient. Showboat. Yeah, he was efficient as a passer, and they scored three rushing touchdowns. And if he gets one of those,
look. This take is ass, and the reason is that.
But I'm not looking at the results, dude. I'm telling you how I felt 8 hours ago,
but what I'm saying is we saw him completely melt down last week. In his first start, and there's no reason to play him in cash when that sort of thing could happen again. I mean, it's just, what are we talking about here? Like, he got sacked like 7, 8, 9 times. He could not run the offense at all. To play that in cash and go back to it is
pretty egregious, in my opinion. If you believe that he's undervalued or something like that, you can play him in GPP, but don't act like
his I don't think he was good for GPPs because he's never getting like 30. You know?
Yeah, well,
yeah, his ceiling is limited, I think, in from that perspective. But I like Sammy, I don't think 1 week should take you off of the thesis of the play entirely. Like, it doesn't throw
out. Like, I think Justin Fields is really good. So
we thought that last week. You don't adjust your prior that much because he had a abysmal start, like, to his career. Like, that doesn't mean he's now, like, everything we know about his talent and everything we know about, like, rushing quarterbacks in the NFL at that price on DraftKings. Like,
certainly not, but it should change your reality about his range of outcomes. I mean, the whole thing is like,
That's a fair point.
You play Justin Fields is because he's got this safe floor because of the rushing. But when you see that that floor can actually be like below in the basement, like it was last week, you have to say, look, this is reasonably part of his range of outcomes. Like, he may not be ready yet. And, you know, again, not to be results oriented, but he threw the ball 17 times and rushed it 3 times. Like, he was not close to having a good game. He wasn't even close to having a good game. I mean, that's brutal. What they did is they got a lead at the beginning and they protected him and sheltered him and didn't let him do
anything. If anything, I would say that this week should have showed you that the reality is the Bears want to run the ball when they can, and they're going to design an offense around that more often than not. So he's different than the Jalen Hurts type. Like, you can't look at other running quarterbacks and look at that upside thinking that that's what he has right now until they get different play calling in. Like, his ceiling is going to be limited by the style of offense the Bears want to play, not by the talent, not by the weapons, because Mooney, Kmet and Robinson and Montgomery, like, he has weapons. Like, there's no reason he couldn't put up a ceiling type game like Hurts, except for the play calling and the way that the Bears want to run their offense.
Speaking of the way they want to run the offense, were you guys surprised? I know Dallas got out to a big lead, and we kind of ran pretty good from Dak to get 4 throwing touchdowns from him, because he only threw the ball 22 times. And
no, because they got a pick six, and then immediately after the pick six, Trayvon Diggs got another interception. So that to me is just kind of one of those things. And when Dallas
I don't think they had a pick six this week.
They did, didn't they?
No, that was last week, man.
No, I don't think
they did. They had 4 passing touchdowns and 1 to and a rush by Elliott.
I'm pretty sure Diggs had 2 interceptions. So am I getting this wrong?
I think he did. I just don't think they were pick sixes.
Yeah, the pick six was last week, mate.
Okay,
but yeah. Regardless, I think you ran. Anytime you get 4 TDs on 20 something attempts or whatever,
obviously you ran good. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, we ran pretty good with Amari. Obviously, this wasn't the game script like we were projecting, but we probably should have like realized that Dallas could have just blown Carolina out of the water. Like, Carolina.
Well, yeah. If one of those passing touchdowns turns into a Zeke rushing touchdown, like it could have gotten real ugly real quick, and we could have been licking our wounds. Yeah.
But yeah, I think overall at receiver, it was pretty clear all the plays that everybody was thinking about. I don't think that. I mean, Cooper.
I think not playing Cooper is egregious of you, Nate. Not playing Cooper or Odell, I think was just very bad of you.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about Cooper, and we were big tilting because he went off on the first drive.
He hurt his hamstring, yeah.
Yeah, and took off his helmet. And that was like very, very, very big.
Amari coming back from an in-game injury to score a touchdown has to be like a plus 1 million to one. Like, that's got to be like, it's never happened before in the history of football. Like, I swear to God. Like there's just, like, when you see Amari Cooper on the sideline with his helmet off, you're like, oh, great. Like, I'm completely done.
Well, I mean, Cooper is in the top 10 receivers I wanted to play. I mean, number one, the priority for me was Devontae. Number two, priority for me was DJ Moore. And then it was the cheap wide receiver options, which there were like 2 options. I thought it was either Curtis Samuel or Westbrook.
There were a bunch, and they all were bad. Every single punt wide receiver option was bad. No, yeah. I don't think any of them got
over
10.
As they usually are, bro.
I was pretty set, though, that I wanted Samuel over Westbrook. And even though the results didn't matter, they were both the same. I think we should talk about the theory of
that. You were 100% right to do that, because Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is just not a good football player. Just straight up is just the most average, basic bitch ass like create a player wide receiver there ever is. And even if Curtis Samuel was not going to have like, you know, full snaps or full role, Nate, do you know how many snaps Curtis Samuel played?
I can pull it up. But that, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, because I think that's the difference between positional like talent evaluation. Like Curtis Samuel, we know is a talented wide receiver at the NFL level. Like he's a 5K, 6K wide receiver when he plays full snaps. And I think too often people assume wide receiver replaceability of just like, oh, he's going to get the same volume. Like when Julio's out, oh, Olamide, he's going to be Olamide, Julio for 3K. Right. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. It's not running back where you can put like anybody in there and
where Rodney Smith can be a thorn in your side.
Yeah. So with Curtis Samuel, I was like, we are literally getting a 5K, 6K wide receiver at 3K with just risks on volume and
volume
snap share.
And playing time. Yeah.
But and the coach said, the coach was like, hey, he's ready to go. I felt, you know, I played Samuel over Westbrook too. And I've kind of felt the same way. You know, I'm like, they went out, what did they trade for him, or they signed him as a free agent? You know, they went out of their way to get him. I was just like, and they really haven't had a really good second receiving option. I mean, they've thrown some to Deami Brown here and there, but like,
he's been bad.
Deami fell on his face this year. He had an opportunity and didn't take it. Samuel ran 25 snaps, 13 routes, and got 4 targets on that. But
say that again. Sorry.
It was 25 snaps, 13 routes, and 4 targets.
Yeah, if you tell me 25 snaps before the game, I'd probably just play him over Westbrook.
I think. Yeah, I mean, Westbrook, I mean, Tennessee ran so many plays and so many passing plays that Westbrook's numbers are going to look inflated.
Dude,
but
Jeremy McNichols led them in targets.
Hey,
so many pass plays here, though.
Davis, aren't you happy we didn't play Tennessee in Survivor?
Oh my God. Can you imagine how mad I would have been today? Yeah. I would have been losing my mind. I would have been absolutely losing my mind. I mean,
we were super close, Nate. We were going back and forth.
We haven't even mentioned the big dog's name yet. So the big dog gets 33 carries, 157 yards, scores his touchdown. But imagine a world where Jeremy McNichols doesn't exist. And Big Dog is getting those targets instead. McNichols got 12 targets in this game. Imagine what Derrick Henry's projection would look like if it was even possible for him to get 12. He'd be projecting for like 30 points every week.
He would cost 11.2.
And I genuinely don't understand why they don't run more screens with him. Like, that has to be just
– they did it. In the first quarter, they ran a screen for him, and I was like, oh, this is – if this is going to be the new Titans offense, like, this is over. We're playing Henry every week.
So my question is, like, why aren't they? Like, when you have literally these nobodies running routes and you're giving Chester Rogers 8 targets, like, why are you not just saying, like, every drive we're going to give 2 screens to him? We're just going to get the ball in his hands and create some space.
And if you've seen him on screens, like, you give him a little room, nobody's taking the train off the track.
So I think that's the thing. I think it's that it just takes him a second to like get like we all know Henry, like, he's super powerful and super fast, but it kind of takes him, you know, an extra step to get up to speed versus, you know, a McNichols or whatever. So I think if teams kind of know the Derrick Henry screen is coming, they can snuff those out pretty easy. Like, I think that's actually an easy play for them to defend.
Yeah, it takes them like a second and a half to like turn around
and go. And I'm not even saying that to, like, I'm not disparaging Henry at all. Like, clear, like, I thought he was a must play on DraftKings today, whatever. But I think there are reasons that they don't run the screens for him a lot. Like, I think you have to do that selectively because it just takes it. Yeah. It just takes him a second to get up the field, basically. But well, only five
out of every 9 players played Derrick Henry in cash today.
Is that true?
Yeah, there's still value. Yeah.
55.5%.
I mean, I normally do not do this, but I knew that my team was so good this morning that I played extra. Like, I ran.
I did too.
I was like, because I was like, this is the total proof. This is the total show me week. And if you don't have something close to this, you're just gonna lose.
Yeah, or you're Nate Noling and you get trash touchdowns from Mike Davis, and you know you just get there.
Well, Nate, the only reason Nate cashed is that he was smart enough to play David Montgomery in that running back slot.
Just to be clear, Sammy, I ran like bottom 20 percentile of my quarterback efficiency where you ran like upper 80 percentile. So like Josh Allen could have put 40 on you and it would have
quarterback. Been- who cares, bro?
Yeah. Yeah. That argument's not going to get the people on your side. Like arguing about quarterback efficiency. All right.
Well, nope. At the end of the day, only 45. Yeah,
at the end of the day, you survived another week of Mike Davis. You're going to play him again next week.
Davis, we all you know. Keep saying survived. I thrived. He
thrived every
time. I'm gonna straight up play Cordarrelle Patterson next week and just like smash Nate so hard.
Yeah.
Sammy's gonna play a 30% snap share guy.
Oh yeah.
You guys.
So another thing is I think that we all play Disley, which I think is like fine at surface level. But like not playing $3,400 Dalton Schultz actually, I think, seems pretty bad. He led the team in targets again, scores another touchdown. I mean,
Here's the thing. If you watch the games, they are literally manufacturing touches.
And he's wide open when he's
wide open.
Wide. Like, and Jarwin was wide open on his touchdown, too.
Yeah, they are legit, like, they're not spreading it out. And I think they're kind of changing things up without Gallup in there.
100%. Well, 100%.
If there's anything we've learned, it's that Gallup was way more valuable to this team than anybody realized. Gallup on the outside was critical to making this work. Those first couple snaps where Gallup, CeeDee was in slot and Amari was out wide was like, I mean, beginning of the year, it was like, this is the most efficiency. This is the highest efficiency we're going to see all year passing. And then Gallup goes down. They've thrown under 30 passes
in each of their last three games because Gallup's not there.
Amari Cooper's targets the last 3 weeks, 5, 4, and 3 targets.
Okay. And it's not like CD has taken them either. I mean, no. CD literally had 4 targets this game and ran 24 routes. Like I don't know. They need Gallup back. They need to get the rest of these guys in their ideal, like playing spots.
The Cowboys are fine. They just are not, their defense is better than expected. So they're not in some of the same crazy shootouts as last
year. Which we hate. Like, we don't want that. But they literally gave 30 rushes to their running backs.
Real football.
Yeah.
But I'm saying when Gallup comes back, I'm not playing Dalton Schultz at 3,400. He's a chump play at that price.
Gallup is, I don't believe he's returned to practice yet. And I wonder. I mean, Schultz was shaping up as being the stone chalk all week until the Disley stuff. I mean, Schultz was in our optimal still. Yeah. I only played Disley because I knew that if I didn't play DJ Moore in an all-time DJ Moore spot, I was just going to be miserable.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to play Mike Davis over Amari Cooper, so that's why I played Disley.
Sometimes
you guys survived and made money without Mike Davis.
Yeah, we survived without 13 carries for 14 yards. Somehow we found a way. I mean, in a way, I do feel that I survived because of all the running backs that I could have played at running back two, I basically picked the worst one.
That is correct.
Hubbard was a real, like, could have played Najee. Could have played Bark. I had Barkley on like Tuesday, but I don't think I ever really would have played him.
So DJ Moore was, he was super chalky, right? He was like 31% owned.
Yeah.
But that still means alpha. That does mean that 2 out of every 3 people did not play DJ Moore in cash. You know, I just think, and we were all on it. So I don't
want
to like,
he was a week 3-esque Cooper Kupp style play, like so clearly you had to play him.
I
think the problem with Moore's ownership is that there were a couple other relatively chalky receivers that were like close in price to him, so I think a lot of people played CeeDee Lamb, a lot of people played played Odell
Debo.
Debo
was only like 7-ish percent.
Yeah, Odell was like 28% owned in the
which was fine. Odell versus Cooper is fine.
Yeah,
yeah, but I'm saying like I think that's why DJ Moore wasn't as owned as he should have been is just because there was a lot of like decent plays like in that same similar price range.
Yeah. When you look at when you look at Odell's whopper from this week, you're going to lose your mind, dude. I shit you not. He probably left 30 fantasy points out on the field.
Oh, buddy. He was my highest GPP receiver. I stack the stones off that game and it scored 21 points.
How is that the game you chose?
Dude, I did too. I literally had so much Odell and he had like 18 expected points and ended up with, 13 points under expectation this week. He left.
Well, let me tell you this.
144 air yards and
he was top three in air yards last week too, I believe. So
the one that skipped off the turf before it got to him. I mean, that was an 85 yard touchdown that Baker just missed. Like more expected points than that, because that is just that is an 85 yard touchdown, like so much of the time. So running bad.
Big tilt.
Okay. Do we want to tilt Davante Adams? I mean, it just didn't matter to any of us because we had the nuts after the.
Yeah, I would have tilted if we weren't smashing already.
Yeah, like if DJ Moore doesn't score that second touchdown and Najee and Woods get those touchdowns in the fourth quarter, this honestly would have been a lot better of a show because we all would have been tilting Davante Adams and then tilting the Robert Woods, Najee Harris suckouts.
Well, the Harris thing was tilting just because it was like such an easy thing. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to play Davante again. It doesn't matter. I mean,
well,
nothing changes.
So I guess this is the thing. We all played Davante Adams over Tyreek Hill.
Whew.
But I would never in this spot play. I played Tyreek in my main GPP team, but I would never play Davante in GPP. I would always like, so if that's my mindset, if my mindset is I would always play Tyreek for the same price over Adams in tournaments, maybe it's like a small bit of a leak to play Davante.
No, I don't think so.
It's ownership consideration. I mean, literally, yeah. Tyreek is like 8% owned. You get Tyreek at single-digit ownership, where Davante comes in at like 20%+ owned in GPPs. He's an immediate fade.
He was like 50% in the massive $10 double up Davante Adams was.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is Devontae's volume is just so safe and bankable, whereas Tyreek has up and down games, right? He has games where he just doesn't show up, or they go elsewhere. They're like playing too high safety and, you know, they just play dudes over the top of them. And then they just like pepper Kelsey. So don't get me wrong. Like Tyreek is always a good play, but like just by the nature of cash games, players like Davante have higher floors. Players like even Cooper Kupp have higher floors. And yeah, sometimes Tyreek blows up, and he did this week, but nobody played him.
Boy, I mean, blow up this week. Had a ton of Tyreek in GPP, but yeah, Davante was 21% owned in that red zone tournament, the single entry. Like that's an immediate fade as a wide receiver. Like,
yeah,
there's no, you shouldn't be playing 20%+ owned wide receivers in a single entry like that. I was tilted because Odell ended up being 25% owned in that. And I had no idea. I thought Odell was going to be maybe 10% owned in tournaments, and I had a ton of him, and then he ended up being 25% owned and killed me at that ownership.
Yeah. All right, you guys ready to do our tournament teams?
Sure.
All right. So I thought there were two games that I really wanted to stack. It was Kansas City, Philadelphia, and it was Carolina and Dallas. The team I ended up throwing in the red zone was Patrick Mahomes, Antonio Gibson, Chuba Hubbard, Tyreek Hill. Sounds good, right?
Not so much.
Jalen Reagor, Mecole Hardman, Blake Jarwin, Steph Diggs, Jets defense. Definitely did not get there. Obviously, Devonta Smith much better than Jalen Reagor. So got the bring back wrong. I will say, I have never felt so intelligent as a DFS player playing Blake Jarwin over Dalton Schultz, who was like literally 20 times his owned. Like Blake Jarwin.
That's a strong play.
Well, I looked at it. Blake Jarwin had run one fewer route than Dalton Schultz. And Schultz is going to be 10, 15%, whatever. Blake Jarwin scores the touchdown. And I'm like, I am so fucking smart. All these people are so goddamn stupid. And then Dalton Schultz leads the team in targets. And it's like, oh yeah, I guess maybe ownership is a good indication of who's going to score the fantasy points. So min cash for me, I liked playing Diggs with Tyreek on a Mahomes team, 'cause I felt that would be a super unique combination that almost all Diggs teams would be Josh Allen teams. Almost all Tyreek teams would be Mahomes teams. So I thought it was a good lineup. Hardman and Rieger, obviously, doing nothing. Not great.
Yeah, Hardman lets you down yet again. I also min-cashed. I don't know what the min-cash was. I doubled.
The min-cash. The min-cash.
But cash. I did a Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox stack with Brandon Cooks coming back. Brandon Cooks didn't do squat. So that kind of messed me up, but Knox smashed. And then I used Ezekiel Elliott at running back because kind of the same reasons as last week, just, you know,
amazing leverage off a chalky game.
Amazing leverage, right? And people want the passing stuff. I used Antonio Gibson at running back. I had DJ Moore in this lineup. And then I did a really fishy thing, and I played Westbrook Akeen.
That is so bad, dude.
Yeah, it's
you
really bad.
You should feel bad.
I do feel bad. Yeah.
That is like the one thing this week that like you just could not, you had to just play Cameron Batson or literally anyone else.
No, I mean, I should have just gone Samuel, but I didn't want to go Samuel in this one because I also used Antonio Gibson. And so I was like, who's the other min price guy I want to use? And I was like, you know what? This lineup is unique enough where like, I just feel fine taking a chalk guy. So it, you know, it's still not good, but I use the Jets defense in this one. The Lions were the chalky low price defense. So I thought going somewhere else like the Jets, you know, it was a pretty good idea. And indeed they scored more. So it was a pretty decent team, scored about 160 points, and yeah, it was all right.
Nice. I did not min cash, which is impressive when you realize that I had Tyreek Hill and Deebo Samuel on this team.
That is, that can't be possible.
It's true. So I went with a Baker double stack.
easy dust. Yeah.
Cleveland, Minnesota was the game that I really wanted. And I had almost all my single entry teams were different stacks of this. And so I went Baker, Odell, and Njoku as my Browns side of that. And I brought it back with Dalvin Cook. I thought Dalvin Cook, I mean, all of the reports were that Dalvin Cook was like going to be pretty much 100%. He was pretty close last week. It looked like he was going to play in full. And I thought he had similar ceiling to Henry at like a fifth of the ownership. So yeah.
Dalvin was an extremely good play.
I played Dalvin. Dalvin was my most owned GPP running back too, Nate. And I stacked the hell out of this game. Talk a little bit about why you stacked the game, because again, it was a game that I was on too.
Well, all the ownership projections, which unfortunately the ownership aggregate projections that I used this week were off, because I had like, I basically do like a ceiling projection for all these players. And then I look at ownership and I try to figure out leverage, and I take like, hey, what are the best games to stack based on ownership, not just on overall ceiling? Because obviously Dallas and Carolina was like the best ceiling game, but it was also the highest owned game. So this game was like showing up the best because I thought Odell was going to be low owned. And then I was able to get exposure to other games that I really liked. So it wasn't just about the Baker, Odell, and Njoku stack with Cook. It was also about what I could also add to this lineup. So what I was able to add to this lineup was I had Tyreek, Deebo, and then I had Sermon as well, because I wanted to have a mini stack of San Francisco. So I had Trey Sermon and Deebo in that as well. So I felt good about this lineup. I also had Woods and Jets D. Felt good about the lineup. But yeah, I mean, when your main stack hits for like 12 points combined with five players, you're screwed no matter what happens with your one-offs around.
Hey, did you play Mike Davis in any GPP lineup?
No.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he's a bad cash play.
Does that tell you something about Mike Davis and the ceiling that he carries?
No, but no, I didn't play Hubbard on any of my GPP, or yeah. I didn't play Henry on any of my GPP teams. I played.
That's because he's going to have massive ownership.
Yeah.
Well, and I preferred Henderson. I preferred Daryl Henderson over Hubbard in tournaments, which should have paid off. And Sermon, too.
Sermon was the great GBP play. I thought my favorite running back plays in tournaments were Dalvin, Trey Sermon and Henderson, I think, were my three like top. Oh, and then Zach Moss. Zach Moss was like the one guy in Buffalo that I thought if they really do put up 35 points here, 40 something points here, Moss could totally stumble in for two touchdowns at like no ownership. So I had a bunch of Moss too, but yeah. The Cleveland Minnesota game was the most tilting. I had it everywhere.
Yep. It's very obnoxious. Like 2 weeks in a row, I stone nut out the correct stack and literally whiff on it. All of my one-offs. Like it's just very frustrating.
That's why it's hard to win a GPP, man.
Yeah. And I had the opposite. I had all the one-offs and then the stack just bombed. If I would have had proper ownership projections and known that Odell was going to be 25% owned, I probably would have not had this as my main stack. Odell's ownership was unplayable in tournaments.
Well, it's just because people put their cash teams in those and Odell was a cash play.
No, Odell was like,
I'm not sure about that.
Dude, he was the most owned wide receiver in that red zone.
Well, I know that Odell was the top value wide receiver on ETR, which tends to be a big driver of tournament ownership.
Yeah, and this game was their top GPP game score. So they do something kind of like Nate, where they factor in ownership and, you know, ceiling and this and that, and they say, what's the best game? What's the most value game to stack? And this was the game. I think their second one was Philly, Kansas City. So
got it. Yeah. My second
I
one
just
was
am
Buffalo,
done.
Houston.
I've leveled myself off of like good Mahomes and Dak teams so many times, like probably when those two guys are on the main slate, that's just what my single entry teams are going to
be. It's one of these things where you hop back and forth, but if you literally just stacked Chiefs every week,
What my stacks, we've done it four times this season. My stacks have been Mahomes twice, Kyler once, and no, Mahomes three times.
No. Like you're gonna have like multiple awesome weeks.
I mean, the thing is that if you run into let's look. What team what team won this? Oh, I mean you can't beat the Tyler Heinicke stack this week, I guess. I guess the vomit stack with Derrick Henry and CPAT was too good this week.
Oh, I mean, you just got to play the RB1 for
yeah, that is,
and you win it all.
Yeah. Ugh. Man, this lineup is a work of art. Nick Westbrook-Ikeen in the flex. I'm looking at one of my DAC teams that I had pulled up in the blind side, and this team scored 231 points, single stack. Heinicke and McLaurin. His Atlanta bring back was Cordarrelle Patterson, plays Tyreek, plays DJ Moore, and then Evan Ingram, Westbrook-Ikeen, and the Colts defense. Just amazing stuff, really.
Legend.
It's hard to win tournaments, dude.
Yeah, don't look at the winning lineup of the red zone. It was this Mahomes. It was a Mahomes Hill stack, but then it had just all the one-offs that it hit on. I mean, it had no correlation, but it worked. I mean, David Montgomery, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin.
It had Randall Cobb.
And Randall Cobb. I mean, literally.
Randall Cobb was like a sneaky, really good play, and I thought about it, and I wish I'd done it more because the Steelers just are so egregious against the slot and just like do that thing where they cover the slot receiver at their middle linebacker all the time and just get hosed up. And, you know, like Randall with MVS out, like it was fully reasonable to think that Cobb might get a little more work. They were talking about it. I actually think that was a pretty sharp play.
Yeah, I just looking at this lineup though, the core. Like, I was just I don't know how that got built, but yeah, this week overall the biggest takeaways I had though were Terry McLaurin. He's back. I mean, he.
Well, did you see the second touchdown he scored?
No.
So amazing.
I mean, it was, it should really not even count as a target. I don't think. Like, Heinicke was like half throwing the ball away, half throwing it in McLaurin's general direction, and he just like kind of like slid underneath it while the defensive back missed.
Well, he had 217 air yards for the week.
But what I'm telling you is that a third of that was on this like total broken dust play that turns into a touchdown like 3% of the time.
Well, the top five, I mean, that the reason I love expected metrics is because the top five almost every week look like who you would expect. I mean, it's the top five were the best wide receiver plays of the week. Terry McLaurin, Cooper Kupp, Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore, Tyreek Hill. Those were the top five in expected.
What about expected running expected rushing points or expected points for the running backs? Is Mike Davis up there?
In his 13 carries? No.
No.
Derrick Henry is off the charts on that. Derrick Henry, Demont.
Like
Zeke. Yeah. Oh, Kamara didn't get a target, but
he didn't get a target, bro. He got 26 rushes for 120 yards and no targets.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so funny to me the Giants win this game. So now all the Giants fans are all back in on Joe Judge. And it's
we didn't use New Orleans in the Survivor either, Davis.
I know. Yeah, we really though we shouldn't feel too proud about it though, because we really did take a layup.
But we didn't outsmart ourselves. Anyway, the people aren't here to talk about Survivor, but I'm happy.
The one volume thing I am glad to see is that Calvin Ridley looked somewhat back to the usage that we would have expected from him. His ADOT has been pretty off this year, and to see him get 13 targets at his normal 15.2 ADOT for nearly 200 air yards was great. Yeah, 198 air yards for him. So good to see Calvin Ridley get that usage, even if he didn't necessarily go off. I think
Kyle Pitts, 9 more targets. Kyle Pitts, I used him a lot in GPP, and he's a guy
that's got to happen eventually, right?
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, is Derrick Henry just the guy?
If you're redrafting fantasy this year,
he's number one.
He's the number one pick, right?
I mean, Underdog is doing their best ball resurrection tournament, and he goes number one, and he should.
Yep. He really should.
With Alvin Kamara getting zero targets, what's the point of playing? I mean, the Alvin Kamara thing is the most tilting thing in the world. This offseason and the weeks leading up to week one set up for Alvin Kamara to have his best year yet.
Well, the other thing, and we didn't tilt this because we didn't play Alvin Kamara, but do you know who had 2 rushing touchdowns for the Saints?
Taysom Hill.
It was Taysom Hill.
And the I don't remember if it was the first or the second, but one of them was a grown ass man run. He broke 13 tackles. It was absurd.
We would have tilted so damn hard if we
if you have Kamara in that spot, you're just completely miserable.
That would have been tilting.
So are Steelers players playable anymore, or are they
Deontay Johnson is, he's an alpha. Other than that, no, absolutely not.
Also, no Texans players, no Texans bring backs needed.
I was so on Brandon Cooks, man. I was like, this is just so natural. But the Texans are just fully egregious. You can't do it.
DJ Moore is a real number one wide receiver. That dude is an alpha. We've been waiting for it, and it's here.
Yeah,
second touchdown he scored where there was no one within 8 yards of him.
Yeah, they ran the Cooper Kupp play.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
Where do you rank DJ Moore rest of season? Do you put him at is he up there with Ridley? Is he up there with Diggs?
I'd take him over Ridley right now. Because their target volume is roughly the same, and I think the Panthers are mostly going to be fine. Whereas I could see Felipe Franks taking over in game 13 for the Falcons at this point.
Also RIP Robbie.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice story for Robbie last year, but he's done now.
Nate printed off Robbie Anderson last year.
He did. Nate got ahead of that usage. And
time out. What are you guys? He had 11 targets this week.
Well, good for him, dude. He didn't do anything with them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say RIP. I mean, last year was the time to play him, but he had almost 20 expected points this week.
He's a nice secondary receiver, Nate. He's fine. But
yeah, and that
DJ Moore is the price, alpha. DJ Moore is the captain now.
Yes. But at his price, he's going to be playable pretty soon here. There's going to be too many people thinking he's done when he's not.
I'm going to just absolutely love it when Nate comes with the Mike Davis and Robbie.
Oh, there's going to be a Mike Davis, Robbie Anderson week, and I'm going to dunk on you all.
It is amazing to me your commitment to the bit for the second running back on the Falcons
for the volume Do you remember when David Montgomery just dunked on you guys and you guys could never consider playing true. Someone like him? Because
but
of the
thing about David Montgomery
is you look past volume all the time because you try to evaluate running backs in your high end, like, oh, this efficiency, whatever. Play the volume.
But he's not even getting good volume, dude. He got two targets today. They threw like 67 times. He got two targets.
When you find a 5K wide or 5K running back who runs 30 plus routes and gets 10 plus rushing attempts week after week after week, he's a good play.
This is so horrible. I hate doing this show now. Like, I just have to hear Nate just go on and on about Mike Davis, and Mike Davis just gets there, and it's just like Nate scores more points than us, and it's just, man, I just want to throw myself off a bridge right now. This is so, so torturous.
We were this close to him not getting this touchdown, and this show would have been very different.
Oh, my God. This would have been the best show.
Like Mike Davis just gives up after the second broken tackle and goes down on the two, and CPAT gets his fourth touchdown. Like, that's the show that people needed. That's the show that the people wanted, really.
Yeah, it's the show that people deserved. We're sorry,
yeah, it would have been a better show, but thank the Lord it did not happen.
Yeah, is this the first week that we've all printed?
I think so. No, yeah, I won
in week one, lost week two, won the last 2 weeks. I don't keep track of your guys' results that much. Yeah, I just know that in week one I should have lost, and Tyreek saved me. That's all I can really remember.
Is this the first week you didn't swap Davis?
I didn't even think about it. Yeah. So we just had the nuts after the noon game.
Congratulations.
It's not as fun, to be honest. Like, I didn't even watch all of the 4 p.m. games. I got dinner and watched a show with my lady. I was like, what do I need to watch Seahawks 49ers for? Like, I don't
care. I was railing the end of fantasy baseball season.
Yeah. Oh, man. We were so close to dunking on the haters and losers. Oh,
dude, we were so close.
Yeah. RIP, go Cast Maine. Tough scene.
All right, let's get out of here, guys. Everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.